Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The title of the message is, "It is not good that the man should be alone." That verse really, it got to me this week. I had read it before we had had dinner, whatever night that was, Thursday night. And the Lord wouldn't let me up, and he gave me a word. And so that's where we're going to go. In verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him an helpmeet for him." Okay? It's amazing to me how that people shy away from issues that are prevalent in the Bible. I was talking to Dennis a while back and things about, he said, it's amazing to me that people don't know the God of the Bible. Just don't know the God of the Bible. And I'm one of those guys, those of you who've been with us for a while, somehow God, it's sort of like the people that I hang out with. I always end up with the obscure people. I don't know why that is. When I used to have coffee and pie here, and now Mondays I meet with these, I call it the geezer lunch, and they go, "You have lunch with those guys?" You know, so I end up with these obscure, you might say obscure people, you see. I've got a small bookshelf. It's right next to the chair where I study. I've got a big bookshelf, small bookshelf, and it contains a handful of books. And those books don't really, they don't really change. Matter of fact, some of them have a little dust on them. You can, hang on. Is that closed? Yeah, I guess it is. All right. And it's those books that I use pretty much on a regular basis. And one of those books is a book I've had for a long, long time. It's a book of Bible lists, things in the Bible, lists of things. How many times, even how many chapters, how many verses and such. And so we had a discussion. We were at dinner Thursday night. And we had a discussion, well, I had a discussion, nobody else wanted to enter in, about kissing. Do you know kissing's probably mentioned in the Bible at least 45 times? You ever hear a preacher preach on that? No. You haven't, have you? Of course not. Well, I do. Okay. And it has significant meaning. God didn't just throw it in there. You see? And I can't say for sure, but somewhere in the neighborhood, carnal relations, sexual relations are mentioned at least 165 times. It's probably the most important thing in morality and in marriage. It's never mentioned. It's like, oh, you can't say that. It's probably the most, you hear me? Important thing. Matter of fact, it's without a doubt the cause of most divorce. Absolutely. And yet, preachers, they'll tiptoe around. They've always tiptoed around all these things, you see. The number one reason for divorce. And it's a taboo subject in the pulpit. Oh, you can't talk about that. Let me ask you something. You say, man, how do you get that from Genesis 2:18? Why on earth do you think that God created the woman who Adam called Eve? Now, I know you can get religious. Well, she's going to be help me. She's going to help him hold the garden. Okay. Yeah. You know, he never said anything when he gave him Eve about going and making babies. That never entered the discussion. And when one marries, the consummation of that marriage doesn't take place by handing her a hoe or a dish rag. Y'all understand that? Okay? So it's an important subject. Or a diaper, by the way. I tried to look up, when I wrote this message, I Googled about humbling a maid, humbling a woman. You ever heard that's an old phrase? It's in the Bible. You find it in Deuteronomy, you find it in Judges. Find a reference to it in Genesis. About humbling a woman. Humbling a maid. You've heard of that? Yeah? Okay. Y'all heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But the interesting thing was I couldn't find it. We left Walmart yesterday. The little girl checks receipts. I didn't hear her say it. Probably a good thing. But she told us to have a woke day. Well, that's germane here because this is a male-female message, okay? We live in a male-female world because God said it wasn't good that Adam be alone, okay? That's what he said. It's not in there, but it's in the Bible. You see. And it's certainly in there about a woman being humble. I know you guys know those verses. Having a humble spirit. And they equate that with the humbling of a woman. Did you know that? The Bible does. The Bible does. And most women hate it. Over half the population is women. Why? Well, it humbles them. It humbles them, you see. I'm getting one nod from man. It sets the order. I've often said people love John 3:16. It's like the banner for these churches that carry John. But they can't stand Genesis 3:16. Y'all have heard me preach that. Why is that? Because God says that the woman, her desire will be to what? Her husband. And he will have the what over her?
The rule.
Now, there's your type of baptism in marriage. Humbling a woman. With God, it consummates. It completes. Matter of fact, so much so, he says, New Testament, know you not if you've laid with a harlot that you're married to the same? That's what he said. Well, don't preach that. You know? Yeah, I'd get rid of a lot of, well, you're too young. A lot of the old deacons. You see? Right there. Now, let me get even more popular. It does, in fact, humble her. And I believe it's why God created her. And I'll give you some specifics about that. Okay? It's the number one method of keeping order in a marriage. The number one method of keeping order in the marriage. I know I'm preaching a little slow this morning. This is not a normal message. Not normal fare. Okay? But I want to preach it before I die. As the old deacon said, don't preach that. The humbling of the woman. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Was the man created for the woman? The woman was created for the man. So much so, and if you want more proof of this, that's why women covered, because the angels could preach on that. Don't preach that, you see. How sad that how sad that most men don't get that. People think I'm always preaching to women, but I'm not. It's very sad that most men, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, I believe there may be more men that don't get this than women. Well, she's not in the mood. Excuse me? She's not in the mood. Excuse me? She's not in the mood to be a wife? A helpmeet? Really? And you don't think that they need humbling? Now, let me tell you something. I can hire a woman to clean. I can hire a woman to cook. And I can hire a woman to do laundry. And it's no sin. There's no sin involved. But I can't hire a woman to provide conjugal needs without sinning. Do you get that? You've got to get that. Because divorce is over 50% of the people. Now they don't even get married, so I guess they don't have divorce. So they don't even get married. I don't need a wife to cook and clean. It's a nice perk. I really like it. Really appreciate it. I do not need that. I'm glad they do. But even I can do that if I need to. Folks, this is the best biblical marriage counseling you'll ever get. It's never preached. It's never talked about. But it's the best you will ever get right here. You get this thing straight, and your marriage is going to be phenomenally better. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't women that desire such things, because there are. And like I said, a man has a responsibility also. The Bible talks, you know how much the Bible talks about this? But they don't preach it. You know, when I said it's spoken of 165 times, I'm not counting the begats. You know, when there's a begat, there's something else going on. Okay? There's something else, you see. I'm saying that in these matters, the man has the headship. The man has the headship. Does not even nature itself teach you? That's another sermon. But in the Bible, we were just talking about, it's up to the man. It was the man that strutted, just like nature. You know, in nature and in the Bible, the man strutted his stuff. The woman was covered. He didn't really even know what she looked like. That's what happened with Leah and Rachel. He got the wrong one. I didn't even know it. You see? So it was the man. Why would a man or a woman ever stray? What do you think about it? Divorce is huge. It's a huge problem. And those that aren't divorced, they have marital problems in all these churches. So-called Christian people, they have Christian marriage, so-called Christian marriage counselors. Why would a man or woman stray? You know why? You certainly not to drink coffee or because you need somebody to clean or do laundry. I'm getting real here, you see. Well, how did I get started on the journey of a message such as this? Our text. What did God create? He didn't create another man. He created a woman. You see? Anybody home? Ever read the book of Esther? Song of Solomon? You know, in the book of Esther, you remember the Ahasuerus, for Ahasuerus king, they gathered up all these virgins. And the king wouldn't be with those girls for a year. And they dipped them in oil for the first 6 months or whatever they did back then. And then they rubbed them with odors for the last 6 months. So for 12 months, they prepared these women to be with the king. You think that they had them a little 5-minute deal? I'm pretty sure that after a year, she's wanting her money's worth, and I know the king's wanting his money's worth. I don't have, see, you shouldn't have to go into detail on these things. But sometimes you do. The Song of Solomon contains everything, now listen to me, from French kissing to what I won't preach. Well, that's, yeah, it is. It's in there. She's read it. Maybe if you read it, you know it's in there. In the Bible. Amen. You see, that's the problem. The natural nature of a lost woman, or even a saved woman, her flesh, is to not be humbled. Now you say, well, that's not true. She's got this desire. Yeah, when she wants to. But it's not her decision. And that holds true not just in this area here. And you've got to know that. You have got to know that. It holds true here, and it holds true in every matter. As Christ is the head of the church. You see. And I know godly women. I've known godly women for years. They meet almost every criteria. And then something happens right here. The humbling. The right. Listen to me. The right to their own body. That's one of the biggest issues today, is the right to the Beto. Beto says you can have an abortion the day before the baby's due. But we're not talking about that. They don't like this right. Isn't that an amazing thing? What an oxymoron. The way that, you see, the woman doesn't have right to her body. Man, y'all are looking at me like I'm preaching Arabic. By the way, the man doesn't have right to his either. Okay? Because it's not her body. Oh, I'll put it sure it's quiet in here. Doesn't belong to them. By the way, that's New Testament theology by none other than Paul the Apostle, who most 99% assuredly was not married. Probably was not married. Not that we know of. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Because when I give marriage counseling, by the way, I'm not preaching this. I hope nobody in here needs marriage counseling. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. When I do give marriage counseling, I always go to 1 Corinthians 7. First five verses. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Do you see that? I hope you understand that. And let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Now this is very important. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And then what? Come together again. Why? That Satan tempt you not in your incontinency. Do you see that? So who has the power of your body, ladies? Husband. You see? Or the man. Who has power over his body?
Wife.
The wife. Okay. And sadly, a lot of women will use that power to wrong advantage. It's their, you might say it's their trump card. So now we're back. Wonder why they call it humbling. That's where we're back to. Because it is a humbling, okay? You want to know about divorce? I know a lot about it. Satan. God hates divorce, and so do I. Satan. Because you neglect this. Amazing, they never preach this, and you neglect this, and who comes in the door? That Satan tempt you not. For neglecting this, and neglecting your duty, you were, my duty, their duty, his duty. It says you're opening the door for Satan. Now see it come together again. I like come together. You know, the Beatles right now. You see? Incontinency. You have any idea what that means? I know you think you have an idea. Restraint of passion. Restraint of sexual appetite. Oh, you can't say that. Well, I just did. Okay. Restraint. Did you get it? Restraint of passion. Restraint of sexual appetite. Come together. Restraint is an open door for Satan. I heard Brother James many years ago. She knows this is true. She heard it. Probably, without a doubt, the most conservative preacher I've ever been involved with. Wouldn't you say? I mean, hands down. It wouldn't even be a close contest. And he said explicitly that the most devilish thing, the most devilish, we just read it, that a woman can do is to withhold her body from her husband. A most conservative preacher. That's not his opinion. It's Bible. We just read it. You see, it's not good. God says it's not good. Listen, Adam had God. And they walked. And they talked. And they communed. And Adam was in his image. And God said, I got something for you. And he didn't create a cleaning lady. Or a tractor driver. Or a laundress. Or a cook. He did not. Well, what else are we going to do? Well, let's figure something out. Do you see? Do you see the importance? Because God said it's not good that the man should be alone. I didn't marry her to clean my clothes. I don't know about y'all, but I was looking for helpmate. You see? My first thoughts when I saw her weren't, I wonder if she can cook. If you've got those thoughts, God help you. You ever think about that? Your first thoughts, I know what you were looking at. Boy, I was looking at you. Looking at you too. Wonder if she can clean house. Wonder if she can speak Spanish. I wonder if she can drive. Did you give any care at all to anything other than, no, you didn't. Don't sit there and be a liar. You had one thing on your mind. One thing. Not good for a man to be alone. And that's the first thing they throw out when they get married, when people get married. Oh, well, it just, you know, that just what? Are you kidding me? Y'all know I preached nursing homes for 30 years. Did you know that I preached, you know what the biggest problem in nursing homes is? Fornication! In the nursing home! Marriages don't break up because they can't cook. That's not the reason that marriages break up. The woman either ceases to be humbled, or the man forgoes his duty to perform such. And you can hear them, and they'll say, well, that spark that we had is gone. I told Melissa the other day, I said, they need one of those. Remember, they have MIG welders now, but they used to have, when I was growing up, we had arc welders, and you got that little deal, and you rub it together, and it gets a spark, and you get something going. Yeah. Well, that's both of you. Takes two. You see? It takes two to get that spark going. You see? I said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Now, that's the message. Now, I've got a prologue, a real short prologue. Because yesterday, I attended the funeral of a neighbor over here. I believe they were married 56 years. I think he got married I think they were married 56 years. This morning at 3:30, God woke me up, and I got out of bed at 4 o'clock. And the house was dark. Melissa was asleep. And as I got out of bed, I just stood there, and I looked at her laying there. And I thought, you know, when I die, my spirit's going to leave this body. And I'm going to leave this bed. And I thought about the wife from yesterday. You know about this. When he died a few days ago, Friday, it hit her. But it doesn't hit until they're in the ground. Because there's so much going on. They won't leave you alone, and you got more stuff going. It's like a tornado. But when it gets quiet, that first night, not the first night after they die, after they're in the ground and it's over, because then it's done. You can't go down to the funeral home, and you can't, it's done. And I thought, someday soon, I'm leaving this body. And she'll be there by herself in that bed, just like that woman from yesterday. What a feeling. Man, if they're in the Lord and they leave, I got the good deal. They don't have the good deal, because they wake up and he's gone, and he was there a long time. And if he was a good husband, if he was a good head. And I thought about her. 56 years. And she rolled over this morning. And he was gone. Because it's not good that the woman be alone either. You see. God said, it's not good that the man be alone. Amen.